Second Timothy chapter 2. Okay, so Paul continues on here, says, Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So you might want to hide the word grace there. Okay, and be strong, being strong in the grace, which means this is what you're leaning on, okay, in your priesthood, because it says Christ Jesus. So you're leaning upon this grace within your priesthood. Okay, and it's the same thing we do when in standing within your petitions. Okay, we stand strong in the grace of God with your petitions. Okay, you're engaging with God. Okay, when you're petitioning and making supplication before God, okay, your prayers and supplications, your thanksgiving, okay, all these things, okay, are a standing factor with your confidence, okay, as a standing confidence, okay, a standing factor within your confidence as a vow. So you stand strong within these things, and you're awaiting patiently, okay, for its fulfillment, just like Jesus taught us. Okay? Just like Jesus taught us in those things. So Paul's telling Timothy here, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So I hate the word Christ Jesus there. The things that you have heard of me as a steward, okay, among many witnesses, okay, and those which are building, the same commit you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Okay, and of course, this is like apostolic succession. Okay, the qualification of your calling stands within your grace. Okay, and that's the same thing. When anyone challenges you regarding your calling or gender, you say, but I stand in the grace of God. Yeah. And that's what you do. You stand in the grace. My calling stands in the grace of God. So there's nothing to really debate about it. It stands in the grace of God. Okay, you shall be able to teach others also. And then he goes on, verse 3, you therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay, here's also identifying concerning the qualifications of your sword. You're holding the sword of the Lord. Endure hardness. So you can highlight that word there, endure, as I did. You can highlight the word endure there, then we'll see the word strive, okay, which is in a positive effect, not a negative effect. The word strive there, and working with the grace of God is a positive, okay, but if you strive with envy or strife, okay, that's a negative. Okay, but the word strive also has to do with being self-disciplined and applying your will. Okay, so here he's talking about the word endure. Okay, the word endure, you're facing the elements, okay, with the tokens, just as much as a soldier in bivouac, okay, or a soldier in encampment. Okay, you have your tent, you have your weather, the clothes that you're wearing, the uniform that you're wearing is to prepare yourself for the changing weather. Okay, you notice about infantrymen particularly. In the infantry, okay, you have like your all-weather gear. They call it all-weather gear. Okay, which has to do with whether it be extremely hot or extremely cold. You have to. It's like always carrying a suitcase or your luggage with you wherever you go. Okay, so in your luggage, which is your backpack, they call it your Alice pack. Not because of their name of Alice. Okay, it wasn't Alice that invented it, but it has to do with your all-weather. The word Alice has to do with your all-weather garments. Okay, that you're carrying. So you're carrying that which has to do with if the weather changes terrain, you have your all-weather gear, concerning your raincoat, okay, or your poncho. They call it a poncho. Okay, you have that. Okay, also you have your boots. Okay, regarding if it's too muddy, you have your boots. Also, if it's concerning this weather dry, if it's too cold, you have your insulations. In that, they call it your field jacket. In your field jackets, you have your liners, you have your gloves, you have all these things. Okay, you carry all that on your backpack, so that as you're marching, okay, you're able to strip down or to down yourself at the same time. Okay, they show you how to do that. Okay, so you're carrying everything with you, and so here Paul addressing Timothy, he says you have all the necessary gear, okay, for your changing environment. Okay, your shield, your sword, your armor. Okay, so he says endure hardness. So hardness has to do with the environment. You see, the spiritual environment, not the weather environment, but your spiritual environment. Okay, the hostilities that exist or always confront you. Okay, whether it be an arrow which Satan shoots through a relative, okay, or arrow which Satan will shoot through, okay, any opportunist, okay, that wants to undermine, okay, he wants to undermine your confidence within God. Okay, to take away your confidence, that's a thief. The thief wants to steal your confidence. Okay, so here he's telling Timothy, okay, always be prepared for the all-changing weather.
Be prepared.
Okay, carrying your gear with you. You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself. There's the word entangle. And you're not entangling yourself with the politics or the policies. Okay? And that, again, that's another thing that the church has to be addressed. Okay, that the church, our presence in this dimension, okay, is not trying to change the policies or judgments which God sets within those kingdoms. Okay, we're not protesting pharaohs. We're not protesting Nebuchadnezzar's. We're not protesting, okay, Abimelech's. Okay, we're not protesting these things. Okay, but rather we're bringing to the attention of the leaders, okay, God's covenant. And that's what Paul did. Okay, when Paul stood before Caesar, he did not protest, okay, Caesar's, okay, laws or policies. Okay, but rather he challenged him with this gospel, okay, the true God. Okay, that Caesar, okay, you're not really a God, okay, in respect as concerning an offspring of the watchers. Okay, but okay, but God has provided us a covenant, okay, for our salvation. And this is what the Lord revealed to Paul. He says, and you should be brought before kings and for governors for my name's sake, okay, for a testimony against them. Okay, and it's the same thing today, that the knowledge which God is giving back to the church is not only for your salvation, but also to address these very same things. Okay, to the point where they will say, indeed, God is among you indeed, as we see in Revelation. Okay, hide us from the face of the wrath of him that sits upon the throne. Okay, it's going to go all the way up, okay, all the way up the ranks. So you therefore, verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay, and because we're carrying all the necessities of our survival within our heart. Okay, the gifts, the callings, grace, God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay, okay, all the gear that you need for the changing environment, okay, is within you. Okay, as carrying the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, your prayer life, okay, your sacrifices, your responsibility, everything, okay, for your, okay, survival remains within you. All you have to do is access it by faith. Okay, keeping on the robes of righteousness. So no man that wars entangles himself. I like that word entangle. Not to snare yourself, okay, with these issues of life. Okay, and the false religious system is ensnaring itself because it wants to nationalize religion. Okay, to nationalize religion, okay, that they begin to set precedences, okay, or they begin to set standards, okay, of how a person, okay, should behave or should perceive the things of life. Okay, as the Salem witch trials there in Massachusetts. They were, every community was establishing, okay, within their own community, like a national religion, okay, so that people that have differing ideas, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit within a Baptist community, they thought, oh, you must be witched, okay, you're practicing witchcraft, okay, and anything that was, okay, out of the norm, okay, of that community, okay, was viewed at that time as being someone that was bewitched or under a spell of witchcraft. Okay, so they would look for evidences, okay, of any kind of discrepancies or say misbehavior, anything of misbehavior. Oh, look at that, okay, they are left-handed, they have to be bewitched, they must be a witch. They're left-handed, okay, or perhaps walking barefoot, okay, or they did something that was out of the, okay, more or less strange to the community behavior. Right? Watch out. Okay, that's what national religion does. Okay, and that's what the beast is going to initiate. But it's not going to be just national. It's going to be global, called a 666. Okay, a global religion, so that any behavior, okay, that's outside of the laws of the beast, okay, is going to be considered as treacherous, okay, treacherous and seditious, okay, to where it's going to be, where it's going to require the severing of the neck, okay, because of that. Okay, and any Christian, Okay, and anybody that professes to be a Christian, okay, that's baptized with the Holy Ghost, and that refuses the policies of the beast, is going to be considered as seditious against the state or seditious against global law. Okay, now that's pretty severe, isn't it? Okay, and they will have their heads removed. Okay, because they're going to be practicing also a certain perspectives of Sharia, okay, or the Islamic religion. Okay, the same thing. Okay, they'll be practicing. It's going to be a mingling of those things. The beast is going to be resourcing. The first beast, well, if we have time, we talk about that in Revelation 13. Okay, but the first beast and the second beast, okay, we're resourcing these things. Okay, mingling all the religions of the world into a composite of faith. Okay, so it's only the intolerant ones that we removed. The Christians. Okay, we will be called the intolerant ones because we stand for God's righteousness and holiness. Okay, but they, okay, will be the more or less the tolerant ones. Okay, we accept everybody in a condition. They will say, see, we accept everybody's religion. There was a posting just like that yesterday. Okay, on that, why is it that you Christians are so intolerable? Okay, why do you always got to debate your religion? Why can't you be, okay, accept the religions of other people? Okay, in that, now that shows that they're. That the world itself is getting intolerable of Christians, okay, just as much as God is, you could say, quote, intolerable of their rebellion, okay, ever since the beginning of the world. Okay, Satan wants to set the standard for faith, and God says, no, you can't do that. I am the standard of faith. But Satan wants to set a standard of faith, okay, whereas everyone is accepted on the scale of sincerity and not covenant. Okay, if you believe in a God, if you're really sincere in what you believe, why can't God accept you? Why can't God find something that's favorable within you, okay, that would make you worthy of His acceptance? And why do you Christians always have to make some kind of distinction? Okay, so they look at this as intolerable, but yet on the same scale as what they the same scale what they're measuring us as intolerable by, they're also intolerable. Okay, because they always want to debate against you, like the atheists, so-called atheists. Okay, so we are enduring hardness. Okay, a very hostile environment. The lowest of the heavens, the darkest of the heavens, and Satan is the prince of this world, the god of this world. Okay, he's ruling the minds of the disobedient and the perspective of the ungodly. Okay, those which are unfruitful, okay, want to declare that their nakedness, okay, is really godliness. Okay, that their nakedness is godliness. Okay, so they will elect things to associate with for that. They will become members of the kingdom of the beast, okay, in order to cover their nakedness. Okay, but that's false. That's a false covering. Okay. So you therefore at heart endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, and that's one that I quote a lot. Okay, mostly like in Chrism magazine. Okay, in Chrism magazine they have a column in there. Okay, whereas they continually address the issues of Obama, okay, and they're always trying to find something wrong with the leaders. Okay, in that, and I says, yeah, but don't the scriptures say that you should not speak evil of the rule of your people? But why do you keep doing that? Why are you always trying to find discrepancies? Okay, aren't you doing that? Wouldn't it be more prudent to pray for those in authority rather than try to, okay, always trying to wrestle them into a position of agreement of way you think things should be ran? Okay, so you have all these different members or lobbyists, they call them lobbyists. I don't know if you have that in South Africa, but in the United States they have lobbyists, okay, who are backed by wealthy, okay, wealthy people, okay, who believe in the same perspective, okay, to push for that perspective to make a law, for pass it through legislation and make a law, okay, and so they've been. This has been a battle now, back and forth, you know, about marriage. Okay, and about abortions, okay, and about all these other little issues, even, you know, even down to your personal life, okay, smoker, non-smoking sections, okay, they want to involve themselves in everything that you do, okay, and that's really none of their business. Okay, they shouldn't be doing that. And it's the same thing in the church. The church should not involve themselves in people's personal life. Just leave it alone. Okay, it's between them and God. Okay, whatever it is. Okay, regarding that, so they constantly want to set standards. Okay, in that, and so once you do that, then people begin to look at the standard that the nation sets for them as a form of holiness. Mm-hmm. There's where the danger comes in, because people actually begin to quote the Constitution of the United States, okay, as the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another error. Okay. Now I heard a person preach that. Okay, as concerning that God created every man equal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, he didn't. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. God did not create man equal. No, that's not there. You won't find anywhere in there, because if every man was created equal, why are they rich and poor? Okay, and God says, I make rich, I make poor. Does that sound equality? No, it's not equality. Okay? God creates the rich, God creates the poor. So there is no equality. Okay? God says the one even against the other. Okay, in that. Okay, God is the one that establishes these different, okay, different nuances of society for the purpose of balance. Okay, in that. Okay, but yet the people want to quote the Constitution of the United States as if it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so they're continually pushing for this, okay, for the so-called equality. But every time they're trying to push for equality, they bring inequities with it. Okay, they bring bondage and every time something is like also pushed through, they bring riot and conflict, right? Conflict. Okay. Yeah.
What happens is when they do that, in our latest Christian magazine, there's a photo of our state president attending last year's gospel show.
Mm.
And that's being used as an advertisement this time around, saying that he enjoyed it so much, so come this year. I couldn't believe it. I was looking at that, I saw our state president, he's sitting there on this gospel show. So he's being used as a standard now.
Mm-hmm.
To confirm that, and then also as a marketing on it becomes dangerous.
Yeah, the same thing. Those which are running for politics in the States do the same thing. Okay, they visit a church, they sit in the church, and everybody's taking pictures of it. And then, of course, they also visit other areas, other religions,
mm-hmm.
in the same thing. So they say, well, this man seems to be rather broad-minded, and, you know, and seems to be, and not only broad-minded, but he also is standing for what we believe. Okay, so he goes to a synagogue, or he goes to a mosque, or he goes to a church.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it's just... It's another trick of the eye.
Diplomacy.
Yes, yes.
I remember President Obama's inauguration, how on the news it seemed like the whole of America was just about holding their breath to see which the first church was he was going to attend, because this
uh-huh.
is such a big thing.
Yes.
And also with who would do the inaugurational prayer, which was Rick Warren,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
I saw, which was quite interesting.
I know. It has to do with popularity.
Yeah.
Okay, Billy Graham was very popular. Okay, during the Nixon administration, the Kennedy administration, okay, and in those areas, so whoever Billy Graham stood with, okay, was looking as a form of by association, righteousness by form of association, okay, and then of course when the Watergate tapes were being taped, okay, Billy Graham stood in august as concerning the language and the deceptions of the Nixon administration, okay, and the Watergate tapes there, and so I'm really kind of surprised at why would he be amazed, okay, at these deceptions. That shows how shallow his religion was. His own religion is very shallow. Billy Graham, okay, he did not know God, okay, but because the gospel he was preaching was the gospel of the moral code, okay, which continually challenged society to clean up its act, come to Jesus and clean up your act. You know, throw away your drugs, throw away your vices, throw away these things and come to Jesus. See, that was his gospel,
mm-hmm.
the moral code. Okay? But it had nothing to do with covenant. It had nothing to do with covenant. Okay, well, let's move on here. Okay, we have a lot of interesting thoughts there. We could talk about this for a long time. No man at war is entangling himself in the affairs of this life. So Paul did not involve himself in the policies of Rome. Paul did not involve himself in the policies of the periods of the Persians. Okay, or the Medes, or the countries around him, and neither did King David. They did not involve themselves in those things. So no man that wars obtains himself for the affairs of this life, that he may please him. I like that. Which means if you associate with these things, then you will not be meeting God's expectation, because you will try to be using the things of God, okay, to promote your own perspective of life. Okay, and that's the false religious system. That's exactly what they do. So the popular book that was in print during the time of that of the Obama administration, okay, are those which Obama, the president today, okay, was associating with, okay, for the purpose of promoting his own policy, okay, and now there's a lot of debate in that about that, Okay, because everyone was praying. They says, Lord, who is going to be the next president? Lord, who do you select for the next president? And so these so-called prophets would stand forth, a prophet. And he said, I talk about a false religious system prophet. He's saying, for thus saith the Lord, okay, God is going to elect Obama to be the leader of the United States. Now what happened? So now he's standing very far left, the liberals, okay, and making these policies. And so now there's a big debate. Well, what happened? God changed his mind, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of debate, and these things among Christian groups. Satan has them so snared, okay, and they are snared, okay, in those things, that they may please him who has chosen to be a soldier, being simple, being single-minded and simple, okay, a soldier. Okay, it's not simple-minded, but single-minded and simple, living simple. Okay, living simple has to do with not entangling yourself with all kinds of things. Okay, which would demand your time. Okay, time-demanding issues. You don't want to entangle yourself with those things because then a distraction repair time, it distracts your priesthood. Okay, it also distracts, begins to rob your time even from the assembly. Okay, that's what you want to avoid. So we have to have good time management. Okay, in other words, developing good habits. And as we said, good habits are hard to make, and bad habits are hard to break.
Right.
And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's true. And we all come to those points where we say, I can improve myself and my time management. Okay, so you have to actually get a calendar. Okay, and mark down there because this is my prayer time from here to here, and this is my my study time from here to here. I'll read so many chapters per day, and I'll try to set a goal of memorizing at least one verse maybe a week. Okay, it just depends upon the individual. Okay, like one verse a week, or maybe a chapter. Okay, like Psalms 1. Why not? Memorize Psalms 1. And then at night, as you lay down, as you repose, and you're about ready to close your day, and you close your eyes, about ready to close your day, you can go back and says, okay, Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is man. Psalms 1, verse 2. Okay, and you go to that one, Psalms 1, verse 3. So you can go back to, before you know it, you're asleep. You're knocked right out. Okay? Or, as you lay there, you can say, Lord, I make petitions for my brethren. And you can pray in the spirit before you know it, you're out. Okay, in that. And there's times on numerous occasions, as I'm laying there and I start meditating in these things, and you feel a nice presence of the Lord, too. Okay? And you fall asleep, and then when I wake up, I can remember what the next verse is going to be. It's kind of, you just pick right up where you left off,
mm-hmm.
and how the Spirit of the Lord does those things. Okay, so this is good. It starts developing habits, so that when you're memorizing Scripture, as you're memorizing Scripture, what aren't you doing? You're not focusing on the world, right? You're not focusing on the negative things. So as you're focusing on the Scripture, you're not focusing on that. But if you're focusing on that, you're not focusing on this. See? So what you're doing is you're starting to develop good habits, okay, in those things. So good to make a goal to do that, or even make a goal saying, today is Wednesday's today. Okay, I'm going to pass out at least one flyer. When I go out shopping today or Thursday, I'm going to put one flyer on a windshield. Okay, how simple? One flyer on a windshield. The car that's next to you. You know, you get out of your car, you can look around if no one's watching.
I
can't put it on there.
Okay. I tear it up. I throw it away. I went for the reason.
You know what the new way is, Eric.
Okay,
we go and we buy iPods, and we listen to you all night long.
Okay, that's another good habit. Okay, that's another good habit. Okay, or when you go shopping, you can easily do this. Stick it in your shopping cart.
Yeah.
And you can do that. You can put it in your shopping cart right there, and the next person comes around and says, oh, what's that? Okay, look at that. And it says, explore the limitless journey. Okay, or... Yeah, it's a good one. It's in color. If you see this in color, these ducks will be flying into the vortex of the universe, kind of thing. Like limitless. They just keep on flying,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, up there. So, yeah, by the way, you can grab a few here if you like. Can you do that when you go shopping? Just put it in your shopping cart there. Okay, you're informing people, that's all. It's very simple. Okay. And then, all right, well, let's go on here in verse 5. Now, if men also strive for masteries, now the word strive, this is a good strive because it has to do with self-discipline. Okay, self-discipline. Before you came in covenant, okay, your disciplines, okay, really center around your habits. Okay, but now your habits have to center around your disciplines. Okay, your habits. Okay, and your certain habits that you developed. okay, which became your disciplines, such as your TV time. Okay, you sat before the television from 6 to 12, maybe 6 to 12 hours. Okay, it says, I'm a very disciplined person. I sit here and watch TV for 6 to 12 hours. Okay, so your disciplines sit around your habits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or around your food, or your food preparation, or around your family. Your habits sit around those things, and those were your disciplines. But now you have to put your habits around your disciplines. That's where the struggle is, see? Okay. Before, you never had a focus about it. There was really no, really kind of any kind of energy or exertion of will, okay? Because it just flowed with your personality. It flowed with your likes and dislikes, okay? But now, now it requires focus and study, okay? So those things which before, which you found more okay, pleasurable, okay, and more convenient, okay, now I have to say, well, I can't really spend 6 to 12 hours in front of a television set. So I'm going to make a commitment, okay, to reduce that time and replace, make a couple hours there from, television time or relaxing time to study time, okay? And that during commercials, I'm going to mute the TV or whatever it is. I'm going to grab a scripture right here. I'm going to start doing commercials. So I actually started liking commercials. Before you didn't like commercials, because they said, you're taking away my pleasure time. And he says, but now when a commercial comes on, we don't have television now. When a commercials come on, that mute on your remote came very handy. So you had your scriptures here, you had a remote over there. So when you're about watching Star Trek or something like that, commercial comes on, like that, grab that, and say, okay, let's see. And you start going through your scriptures in there. And then as you watch there, it comes on, you put your scriptures down and watch the rest of the show there, see. So you can actually have fun with that, knowing things like that. Getting your prayer time as you're driving back and forth to work, okay, or on your lunch break. If you're on a lunch break, you have your scriptures right there. It says, okay, I'm going to spend 15 minutes of reading my chapters, and then I'm going to have a bite to eat, and then I'll spend the rest of my time, maybe getting some prayer. So there's all kinds of ways to arrange these things, okay, in that. You can be very creative on your time management. Now, if men also strive for mastery, so I like the word strive for masteries. Okay, that means you're being self-disciplined. Okay. Yet he is not crowned except he strives lawfully. That means following the rules and proper protocol. Okay, the protocol of God's kingdom. Okay. Okay, every system has a protocol. Okay, whether it be working on the floor of a factory, okay, you can't go just directly to management. You go through your supervisor and go to management. Okay, or if they have like an open door policy, as they claim. Okay, the same thing whether it be in the military or even in school. Okay, you just can't demand a presence of your principal and things like that unless you're a parent. Okay, but you have like a protocol to that. Okay, everything has a protocol. Okay, and so we're disciplined with the things of God's kingdom. We're following the rules and keeping proper protocol. Okay, we actually can go right to the head. Okay, because as sons and daughters of God, okay, we have direct access to the throne. Okay, that's great, isn't it? You don't have to go through the protocol on that one. Okay, the protocol is in your prayer, your prayer closet. Okay, so if a man also strives for masteries and self-discipline, okay, as an athlete puts themselves through grueling, okay, stretches and as they put them through, bend themselves into pretzels, into like a pretzel, like a ballerina, okay, or ballet. Okay, they put themselves through grueling stretches, okay, almost like a meditative stretch, okay, which, of course, anything like that would break my arm or break my leg, okay, but to them, they say these stretches really keeps them very liquid, doesn't it? So they can move very swiftly.
Flexible.
Huh?
Makes them very flexible.
Flexible, right. Okay, we can also be spiritually flexible, so that when you engage in something, like Erica was bringing out earlier, okay, on Facebook, okay, or in the forums, or on the street, okay, that you're always ready to give an answer to your faith. Okay, that's flexibility. And that's flexibility. Okay, you're learning how to be liquid, spiritually liquid. Okay, if you're religiously rigid, okay, and when you engage with somebody, okay, being really religiously rigid there, okay, you'll find that there's going to be conflict. Okay, there's going to be conflict there. Okay, in other words, your principle will speak. Okay, rather than the watering of grace. Okay, so you want to keep yourself liquid by praying in tongues.
Speak so
You're right. You're praying in tongues. You keep doing those stretches, spiritual stretches every day. Okay, you stretch your left leg over here concerning your prayer time. You stretch your right leg over here concerning your prophecies. Okay? Your other disciplines. Okay, as you continue doing your back bends. Like same thing with like a person that's in sports or track. Okay, when I was in track. Okay, in high school. Okay, you do your stretches. Okay, for the purpose of the. Okay, like running over the, doing the hurdles. Yes, thank you. Like doing the hurdles. Okay, you have to do your stretches for that, and also for the like your other ones where you have your sprints. Okay, you have to really do your stretches for that. You could really pull a muscle. Okay, you have your warm ups, your warm downs. They call them. They all kinds of language for the sports world there. Okay, in order to keep yourself fluid, so that at the time when they say your match is up. Okay, that you're able to get into position of your sprints or wherever it is, okay, and you're moving right with it. Bang, you're on your way. Okay, spiritually speaking, you can do the same thing. Okay, your prayer life, your study time, okay, your attendance of the assembly, okay, your charity one to another, okay, keeps you continually flowing liquidly. Okay, so that when there's a time of engagement with the unsaved, the sinner, okay, or the opposer, okay, the opposer of grace. Okay, that you enter into the warfare, okay, with resolving of grace and not with a principle, okay, okay, in that, because when a principle comes against principle, they're gonna win, okay, because they know how to shout all the list of obscenities against you, okay, and at that they continually they're actually provoking you, okay, for the purpose of exhibiting your carnality, so that they have again another issue with you. That's what they're doing. They did the same thing with Jesus. Okay, when Jesus was sharing with them, okay, or speaking to them of the mysteries of the kingdom of God concerning himself, okay, they would also provoke him to speak of many things. Remember it says that? Okay, they provoke him. So all these Pharisees and religious leaders, okay, were around Jesus and they began to shoot at him. Okay, they would ask him one question, like this. And then before Jesus would even get trying to explain it, another one come at him. And then we started talking about that. And then another one explained. What about this, Jesus? What about that? What about this? What about that? See, and they wouldn't really give him a breath to try to say anything. And Jesus knew that they were trying to provoke him. Okay, at that point. And that's the same thing the sinners will do. Also, if you're passing out flyers, okay, be aware, okay, how Satan will use a group of sinners to try to provoke you. Okay, and when so what you do is you can pass out a few flyers there, but when one begins to ask you a question, another one becomes walking up, and then another one comes walking up, and another one comes walking up. Immediately, they all of a sudden want to challenge you, okay, with all the nuances of the struggle of their own moral codes, right? So all you do, okay, how you handle that one, it says, I can answer all these questions right here. In fact, why don't you call this number right here, and they'd be more than happy to discuss with you every one of the nuances of your questions like that. See, so and if you see that doesn't work, you can look at your rocks right there and says, but I do have other commitments at this point in time. I can get back with you later on. So you can bow out, graciously bow out, okay? Because you can see how the adversary will try to inflame them. The reason why I say that is because they do the same thing on the forums, okay? on the discussion boards. Okay, on the discussion boards, they did the same thing. You would be answering a question. Okay, but then all of a sudden they want to pile on you, okay, an enormous amount of questions, okay, for provocation, okay, for provocation. So what you do is that you elect to answer the question that you want to answer, okay, and you answer that, you take your time and answer that, okay, and then he says, then I'll answer these other questions later. And what they like to do is they like to provoke you saying, well, but you didn't answer my question, so you can't answer my question. See, how come you didn't answer my question, see? So that's a form of provocation, okay, in doing that. So what you do is that you choose the question that you want to answer. Okay, you can answer as thoroughly as you want and put your links in there. Okay, and then you can come back. It says, okay, I'll answer your next question. In that, and so instead of trying to, okay, surefire on everything that you're trying to present to you, because all they want to do is overthrow you. And then Satan wants to overthrow your faith. Okay, so the word strive, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Okay, if a man also strive for masteries, now striving has to do with self-discipline. Okay, and self-disciplining and self-disciplining as a soldier. Okay, you're continually keeping yourself familiar with the basics. Okay, did you know they do that with soldiers? Okay, soldiers which are in the field or in combat. Okay, after so many hours or so many days within the field. Okay, when they take them back to the rear. Okay, from the front lines to the rear. Okay, they go back. They put them on R&R for a while. Okay, but also while they to also put them through retraining. They go right through back to the basics again. Okay, whereas the back to the basics, and also if anything has been newly introduced to the front, okay, concerning what new weaponry, they update them. So they go back to the basics, and then they go to the next stage of the updating. Okay? That's the same thing that we're doing. Back to the basics of the elements, which we have right up here, okay? Grace, faith, righteousness, and all the way to the work of regeneration. Keeping yourself fluid with those basics, okay, will assist you in understanding the in-depthness of these mysteries. Keep me updated with that. So even though it might sound redundant to say grace, okay, and explaining what grace is, it might sound redundant explaining what faith is, or the word believe, okay, or concerning your sanctification, is to keep you fluid, okay, so that by keeping you fluid with the basics, okay, of the keeping your weaponry sharp, okay, and your shields, you know, polished, and your helmets, you know, furbished, okay, all those things. Okay, you'll always be fluid and ready for the next engagement. Okay, rested, okay, R&R, rested and refreshed. You're ready to be put in the front again. And that's the same thing in the assembly. The assembly is your R&R, right? Even a time of your prayer, to where you continually you're continually receiving, okay, the food of the mess hall, okay? The food of the mess hall, the nourishment, okay? Keeping yourself fluid. Okay? So we're not saying these things to be redundant, or it's not because we're stuttering. Okay, religiously stuttering on the elements. Grace, 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 grace. And I'll oops, and slap your head. Oh, great. Grace, faith, right, like that. Keep slapping yourself. Get to the next subject. Okay, that's not the idea. The idea is to keep yourself fluid, studied up, memorizing scripture, okay, and praying in tongues. So if a man also strives for mastery, he said he's not crowned except he strive lawfully and following the rules of the kingdom. Okay, keeping in step and rhythm of the spirit, keeping on the prophetic path. Okay, when we have time, we could read about that, and I think it's in Psalms. He talks about knowing the ways of the Lord, keeping us in the paths of righteousness. Okay, God has taught, keep me in your ways, Lord. Teach me of your ways. Show me this path. Okay, and he's talking about the prophetic path, okay, and how we're fulfilling the prophetic path today. Okay, it's an amazing wonder, okay, phenomena which is unfolding right now. Okay, in Muzzle Bay is being ground zero, okay, of these things, and how the Lord, okay, in preparing this fruit, is about ready to package it, okay, and send an email, okay, to all places of the world, okay, patching these things, okay? Mm-hmm. Now we go to verse 6, because he talks about the soldier and his consistency, and also the farmer and his patience. A farmer and his patience. We have to be just as consistent as a soldier in our preparation, okay, as also be just as patient as a farmer in the sowing and waiting for the reaping, okay? The seasons of change. So verse 6, the husbandman that labors must first be partakers of fruit, which means you have to sow before you can grow anything. Okay, you have to sow, okay, for this experience and also gain wisdom. Okay? So your sharing of charity, like yesterday in the assembly, okay, your sowing of charity one to another, okay, provides a wide venue, if you will, for your experiences to follow. Okay, you see, you heard all things coming forth yesterday. Okay, concerning the dreams and the visions, okay, the prophecies, okay, from the sound of the trumpet, okay, which Prophet Jackie was bringing forth, okay, to the things which Tosca was bringing out, and Prophet Tosca and Prophet Leone were bringing out there, and all the other things we're sharing. There's a lot of things, so which were being brought forth there, and confirmations. Mostly they're in the time of the sword. That's why I put that up there. Okay, this is the time. Okay, the sword is given to the church, the mobility of the church, the rapture, the closeness of the rapture. Okay, all these things coming forth, okay, on this prophetic path. Okay, we're partakers of these fruits. All of us are partaking of the same tree. For the husband that labors must first be partaker of the fruits of what you're sowing. Consider, Paul says. Now, he's not teaching Timothy, okay, concerning Roman warfare tactics. Okay, neither is he teaching Timothy concerning the policies of, okay, farming. Okay, he's not teaching him out of the farmer's almanac. Okay, but he's using these examples like a parable. Okay. Consider what I say, he says here. Build on this. Reflect on these things. The Lord will give you understanding. That's the anointing. So highlight that there. The Lord give you understanding. That's the anointing. Okay. The Spirit will take these things, okay, and unfold even more to you for your own experience and your understanding. Okay. Your perception. Okay. By these things, you can gain another perception. Okay, and the training of the soldier and the patience of the farmer. Remember, in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David. Remember, Jesus. Why do we say remember? Okay, he says, I want you to reflect on these facts, that God came in the form of the flesh to establish a record for our faith. And you see how he did this? Okay, look at Jesus' consistencies. Look at Jesus' consistencies. Look at Jesus' single-mindedness. Okay, look at also Jesus' simplicity. Okay, he says, the Son of Man has not to wear, not has a place to wear, to lay, a place to lay his head. That's simple, isn't it? Simplicity. It doesn't mean that he was bivouacking everywhere. All he was teaching his apostles is this: remain liquid. Remain liquid. And when you go out, he says, don't pack a lot. Don't pack a lot of luggage. Okay, don't even take script or take another pair of shoes with you. Okay, and that was, of course, at the assigned time, by the way. See, Jesus wasn't using that for the record. He was teaching, but he's teaching his apostles to work with him. Okay, that's all it was for. Okay, and in one place, they went from house to house. Their place is don't. Okay, now the Jehovah's Witnesses, okay, they single out this event theology and they try to live it. They try to live Bible experiences through event theology. And you can see how naked and void they are, really, the understanding of the King, things of God's kingdom. Okay. Okay. So we can, but Jesus was putting the apostles in a training ground, okay, sending them out two by two, and then sending out the 70. He did it more than one time, by the way. Okay, when he sent them out, okay, he sent out the 70 at one time, sent out the 12. Okay, one time he says, "Don't take anything." Next time he turned around, and says, "Now go ahead, take it." Okay, remember he said that. Okay, now, okay, now take your things. Now package these things up and prepare yourself. Remember that Jesus Christ is seed of David. Regarding the flesh now, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Okay, because he preached to you this spiritual priesthood, okay, his spiritual priesthood, and not the record of Moses. So that's why he's reflected upon the seed of David. The seed of David, which has to do with the stewardship and the new priesthood. Okay, not of that of Levi. He didn't say remember. Ooh, that was a real just strong presence, Lord. It must have been somebody just walked in. Yeah, it must be a group of angels coming over to you here. Yeah, just felt a real strong wave go through here. Okay, and we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So he says the word remember. Remember and consider. Yeah, I want you to mold with this. I want you to reflect on these things. Remember and consider. 2 Timothy chapter 2, around verse 7. Remember and consider concerning these patterns, not only that of the soldier, the patience of the farmer, but also remember the record of our faith, okay, which works and endures through these things. Your endurance of an overcomer is in this pattern, this record. Okay, is in this pattern, this record, as an endurance. Okay, you're sowing for the purpose of reaping, and you're sharpening your sword for the purpose of real warfare. Okay, so you're constantly going over the basics. You're keeping yourself familiar with the soil. The farmer keeps himself familiar with concerning the weather changes, doesn't he? Okay, when to sow, when to reap. Okay, as also a soldier is well informed concerning the policies of his governor, okay, or the king. Okay, we keep ourselves informed, okay, through the prophetic path up here. Okay, this right here is we're keeping informed as a soldier. We're keeping ourselves informed with our intelligence agency here. Okay, the Lord is passing down to us the things he's about to do. Okay, that's a prophecy. Okay. Which goes back to our father Abraham, okay, regarding, okay, I know that through Abraham, remember what Jesus was, when God was speaking to Abraham about the future, okay? Okay, now reason why the Lord said these things to Abraham was also provide us a pattern and record of what he will do with his offspring. That's us, mm-hmm. Okay? I will show you, because I know, Abraham, that you're going to be a great people. Big kings should come out of you. Which we are, and which will come out of us, okay? As we continue to propagate this knowledge, the kings will come out of you. So shall I withhold from Abraham the things in which I'm about to do? Okay, exactly what he's doing in the church. The things which I'm about to do: the rapture of the church, the mobility of the church, the sword which is restored. Okay, the outreach is going on, and all these other things in here. The things which God, the personal, the great, precious promises. okay, which God is giving to us, which God is giving to us, to his saints, to his church. I'm showing you things to come, the things which I'm about to do, I'm informing you. So we are in the same state of mind as Paul's telling Timothy right here. Consider what I say and remember that Jesus, okay, of the seed of David, remember his record. Okay, well, we'll go on here and see other things. So remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, okay, not Moses of Levi, okay, of earthly things, but Jesus Christ, the seed of David, of heavenly things, right, was raised from the dead. He provided a spiritual priesthood, according to my gospel, which I'm preaching to you. Wherein I suffer trouble. Okay, when he says, wherein I suffer trouble, and not only for the work of regeneration, but also concerning the contradiction that exists in the world because of sin. Okay, the contradiction that exists in the world because of sin. Okay, those who set barriers to grace, okay, by embracing their own prejudices, okay, and trying to undermine the work of Christ within you. Okay, undermining the work of Christ within you. So I suffer trouble, he says. Okay, and this is applicable to us too. Okay, we suffer trouble, okay, because of the revelation which we have received of God regarding your calling, regarding your growth, regarding the time which you're living in. Okay, the second, eighth week. The adversary constantly wants to undermine your confidence. He wants to steal from you, okay? And he steals by offering you his options. Okay, that's exactly what Jesus brought out. Okay? As a farmer goes out to sow his seed, he's carrying a bag of seed with him, and some of that seed is going to fall by the wayside, okay? Which has to do with that knowledge. Immediately the fowls there come and devour it up. Okay? And some will fall among thorns, and some among the stones, and some among the shallow earth, and some in the good soil. Okay? So this parable which Jesus is speaking, okay, is also in references to himself and the knowledge that he's sharing. Okay, the Pharisees, the knowledge that I'm sharing to the Pharisees, Satan immediately doubles it up. Mm-hmm. Okay, because they're already standing to the prejudice, religious prejudices, mm-hmm. against my presence, because my presence threatens them. Okay, as a stewardship, my presence threatens them because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. Because I'm giving sight to the blind, I'm bringing out the prisoners, I'm bringing those prisoners out. Okay, which they held, which they imprisoned by false knowledge. Mm-hmm. They imprisoned them with chains of the precept. Okay, but I'm cutting the chains of the precept, and I'm giving them a new liberty, okay, to serve me, okay, a newness of life, new kingdom, new perception. Okay, that is the true stewardship. The false stewardship cannot bring the liberty because they're using the wrong tokens, the wrong tools. They're bringing bondage to bondage and precept upon precept, aren't they? Okay, because they don't understand the prophetic path. Okay. So I suffer trouble, Paul says here, okay, which is applicable in our same position today. Okay, even as an evildoer, being a teacher of error. Okay, I'm not a teacher of error, but they're saying I'm a teacher of error. Okay, because at the time when Jesus began his ministry began in the time of the green tree. The green tree represents, it had to do at the pinnacle. It was the pinnacle of the time of that first covenant. Okay, it was the pinnacle of the time of that, okay, the fifth week. Okay, the tabernacle, the temple was made. Okay, everything was, okay, set in order, except they were in hypocrisy. They were at the pinnacle of that. See, that's the time of the green tree. Israel was gathered together again. They had the temple. They had the priesthood. Everything was functioning like a machine, okay, but it was absent of any power. Mm-hmm. It was absent of any power. Now Jesus says, if they persecute me at the time of the green tree, what about the time of the dry tree, which is now? Mm-hmm. The dry tree is that they don't even have a temple. They don't even have a priesthood. And where's their stewardship? That's all gone. Okay, it's all gone, and it's all flushed, okay, because of disobedience. Okay, that is the dry tree. Okay, we're living in a time of the dry tree. Okay, even though they're coming back together again, they're all dry leaves. They're all dry leaves, just raking leaves together. It has nothing to do with you're not harvesting fruit. Okay, you're harvesting dry leaves like we do in Michigan. Okay, in Michigan in the autumn time, okay, people are out raking their lawns. Okay, they're not harvesting the leaves. They're gathering these together to burn them. Okay, and of course that has to be by city ordinance. Okay, they burn the dry leaves, and that's what God is doing right now. He's raking together the dry leaves to burn them, okay, not to harvest them, to burn them, okay. And we are living in a time of the dry tree, okay, and God is bundling them together to burn them, okay. So the tares are being bundled to burn, as Jesus said, but the wheat be gathered into the barn, which we are, God is getting ready to bundle us and gather to us into his barn forever, the house of the Lord. So wherein I suffer trouble, even as the evildoer, a teacher of error, that people are claiming, even unto bonds, even unto these bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Okay, you cannot stop the sword of the Lord. Okay, they can't stop it. Okay, no matter where you're at, your prayers are being heard. Okay, no matter where you're at, your prayers are being heard. Now, even King David realized that. And he says, who can escape from the presence of the Lord? Okay, if I was going to the furthest ends of the heaven, behold, thou art there. If I go even to the depths of hell, behold, thou art there. Okay, and he says in another place, okay, even if I try to conceal myself in the depths of the ocean, if God would so desire, he could command a serpent, okay, out of take him out of the environment of the air and put him down there and bite me if he wanted to. That's what he brings out in Psalms here. You cannot escape the presence of the Lord, and neither can they escape your prayers. Okay, and on their part, okay, I say, okay, they should be terrified on their part, okay, concerning the power which God is restoring back to the church. They should be terrified, because now your prayers stand within their calamities. Come into covenant with God, when you come into covenant with God, then you'll be a vessel of mercy. But until then, my prayers will stand within your calamities. Okay, trouble upon trouble. Okay, ruin upon ruin and plunder upon plunder. Okay, because now the treacherous dealer has dealt treacherously, and when they cease to deal treacherously, I shall deal treacherously with you. And when a spoiler ceases to spoil, then I also will begin to spoil the spoiler. And that's what God's doing, see. Mm-hmm. He's going to spoil the spoilers. He's going to deal treacherously with those which dealt treacherously. Okay. Your prayers stand, okay, within their tribulation, okay, until they cry out to God, okay, for deliverance. Until they work with grace, okay, you know, they're going to be put into slippery places. Okay, slippery places. Always in danger. So wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. The holy knowledge, the knowledge of the Spirit, okay, cannot be bound by man's imagination. Man's imagination cannot stop it. Okay? When you're a child, you know, no matter how much you try to believe that there was a Santa Claus, okay, and never really produced it. Okay? Santa Claus never really came into reality, no matter how much you believed in it as a child. Okay. Okay, but okay, for the amusement of your parents, okay, they pretend that Santa Claus came. They would invent the Santa Claus for you, okay, in order that you can enjoy the season about him, okay, in that, okay, but okay, man's imagination at that point, okay, was unbound. It was unbound because it played within your desire and pleasure. Okay, it was unbound. But now we're by the word of God, we're binding these things. Okay, you're binding these things. What does truth do? Okay, not only does it set them free, but also it also brings into bondage. It starts to put into confinement. Okay, Satan's lies. Okay, every time that you're praying for these people and you're also sharing your faith, we're continually cornering Satan. Okay, the shadows begin to flee away. The light begins to lighten all these places. When the light goes on, Satan flees. Because he works his best craft, okay, in the presence of darkness, okay, and the absence of grace. Where there's ignorance, he can rule. Where there's ignorance, he can rule. Okay, where there's truth, okay, he can be found out. He can be discerned. He can be fought against. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, there's that word again, I endure. So I like the word endure again there in verse 10. Okay, with patience as a farmer, okay, and as skills as a soldier, okay, we're enduring. Okay, wherever we go, we carry our gear with us. Okay, we carry our gear with us. Okay, our backpacks. Okay, our swords, our spears, our shields. Okay, we carry everything with us. So therefore, I endure all things. Okay, enduring in patience against a contradiction. Okay, but I also endure all things concerning, okay, all the tokens which God has provided for me. Okay, I work with them for the elect's sake. And we're the elect. Okay, we are the elect of God. Because we carry the testimony of God in our conscience. We're the elect. The seal of God is our forehead. That makes you the elect. Okay, the seal of God on your forehead has to do with a perspective. Okay, a perspective. Okay, and our perspective is from the throne. okay, that that they also may obtain salvation. Okay, so this is another interesting thing right here. When he says obtain salvation, this shows propitiation and not substitutionism. Okay, if it was substitutionism, why would even Paul make references to these things? Okay, why even write these scriptures down? Okay, why couldn't the Bible be written and okay, on one page and one verse? Why couldn't it be that? One page and one verse. And this it could be just as simple as this. Okay? And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. One page, one verse, one verse right here. Okay, once saved, always saved. So what do I have to fear? Hey, I'm saved, I'm predestined to heaven, so I can do anything I want. Okay, that's substitutionism. Okay. But we can see that it's not substitutionism, because there's a responsibility that's laid upon us, okay, for conformity and confirmation. Conformity and to confirm him, which has to do with our salvation, which he brings out right here. So how do you do with salvation? Now the word salvation again has to do with it means to salvage. Okay, to salvage, to restore, okay, or to like to replenish, okay, to remodel. Okay, this is what God is doing within our heart. He's remodeling us. He's restoring us. He's salvaging us. Okay, okay, that which the adversary has rusted, okay, God has removed the rusted and painted over that. Okay, that which the adversary consumed, okay, God has restored that. Okay, and so anything that's all the damage which the adversary has done, okay, God will bring healing. Okay, God will bring healing. All of us at one time in our life were abused. All of us are children of abuse. Satan abused us. Okay, the extremes of that, okay, there's extremes, there's nuances of that. Okay, some more than another, and some severity or another, but all of us were abused. Okay, all of us were either emotionally abused or physically abused in one way or form or another. Okay, and all of us were at one time or another in the past, were bound to Satan's perspective. That's abuse. Okay, we were abused and we abused other people, ignorantly, or even knowingly. Okay, in order to establish, okay, our presence, in order to establish our sovereignty, in order to establish our principle, in order to pursue our aspiration, okay, we are abusive one to another. But that's not how. But that's not way Jesus teaches us. That we have not learned Christ in that manner. We learn Christ through subjection and humility of mind, okay, not through the voice of the aspiration, okay, or to the imposing of the principle. And you can't do that, because the state of the conscience is pure. We're able to be bound one to another, okay, in purity, love, okay, healing. And now we're all being healed. We're abounding now, which before, in the bondage of darkness, okay, we are all as thieves, because we are constantly plundering. We are borrowing from each other. We call it borrowing, but we are really stealing. We are borrowing or stealing one from another, okay, for the purpose of association or to compete with each other. Okay. People went to colleges and universities for the purpose of increasing knowledge to plunder. They didn't go there to build. They get there to plunder. Okay. And so they practice their skills their knowledge skillfully. Okay? You can see that in everything in the world is like that, to plunder, okay, to take. Okay? But when we came into the house of God, we realized that we can't do that any longer. You can't steal knowledge to plunder or to build your own reputation with. You can't do that any longer. See, the knowledge that God gives is for the purpose of the whole now. Anything I give to you is to give to other people. Okay? The bonds of charity. The bonds of charity is giving. Okay? As it doesn't say instead of the bonds of charity, it doesn't say the theft of charity. Okay? You can't steal charity, you give charity. Okay, that you also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's the word Christ Jesus again. So every time this surfaces right here, as Paul's penning this, okay, we can understand that's in references to your priesthood, okay, unto eternal glory, with eternal glory. Okay, we're continually abounding and bringing forth fruit. Okay, we're abounding in his virtue. Okay, as a farmer is patient and as a soldier is single-minded, okay, we have to be just like that. Okay, always prepared, remain fluid. Okay, that's why it's good to continually pray in tongues, okay, because by praying in tongues, you're keeping up your stretches. Okay, as a runner, as an athlete, okay, or as a ballerina. Okay, those stretches are important so that you don't sprain an ankle, okay, or pull a muscle. Okay, those things. So keep yourself liquid, so that when you come into the presence of sinners or in the presence of the brethren, being liquid, okay, your presence there is rather to give than to receive. And that's what Jesus says. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, so that's being liquid in the presence of your brethren. So when you come in the presence of the sinner, okay, that being liquid, okay, you won't stand principle to principle. Okay, but you're able to initiate or sow grace. Okay, you're able to initiate and sow grace. Okay, and keep the shield up. That's the fiery darts of the wicked one. So therefore I endure all things for elect's sake, okay, that they also may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. By this knowledge, okay, we're growing. Deliverance, healing, and salvation. It is a faithful saying, he says here, for if we be dead with him, that means being dead with him, the appointment of the curse, then we shall also live with him by the new covenant. Okay, if we be dead with him by the appointment of the curse, okay, being in the flesh. Okay, he talks about that. Okay, that God removed the power of sin in the flesh by coming in the form of the flesh. Okay, as he brings out there in Philippians. Okay, the Lord himself put the curse upon Adam, and only the Lord can remove the curse, reverse it. And that's what he did when he came in the form of the flesh. He reversed that curse within us. Okay, so now, even though we're in temporal vessels, yet we have eternal souls. Okay, so that the soul which is within us can carry, not only is assigned to eternal life, but as new covenant, okay, but also we have hope that we have also hope in the flesh, okay, that even though that we that we will be able to behold God in the flesh, okay, and we'll see that and also in the other writings concerning beholding God in the flesh, that I shall behold him and not another. My eyes shall behold him. Even in the flesh I shall behold him. Okay. So but apart from the if the curse is present, that wouldn't have been possible. Okay, but now the curse is removed, so that now is possible. Okay. Yeah.
So that sin is in regard to his grace. It is seen in that way. Is that partial of that sin that we see now by his grace, that which he reveals to us while we are in the flesh here? Yeah?
That's right. Now we're in the flesh, that mystery is being unfolded, but also we'll be behold him
when
in the other dimension with the same body. In that, see, if it wasn't, that's why God is going to unite fires and waters. That's why he's going to unite spirit and flesh together. Okay, as his name betrays that. Okay, as concerning Jesus being the flesh, Christ being the spirit. Okay, Christ, Jesus being the waters, Christ being the fires. Okay, that he is now uniting these two together, which were at one point hostile to each other. Okay, he's uniting them both in one, as he brings out in Philippians. Okay, who are at variance with each other are now united together in his name. United together, right. Okay. So as we're in the flesh right now, by faith we can behold him in the flesh. So also in the third covenant, we able also to take up this form without transgression. We can take this form without transgression. Okay. Which before you couldn't, but now we can. Okay, so that's why the last enemy that should be destroyed is death. Okay, and that is the death has to do with this body, this vessel of clay. Okay. So therefore, we go back here. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, okay, and also putting death the aspirations, we also shall live with him, okay, by this new covenant and being resurrected in life. If we suffer right now as a lamb, we shall reign as a lion with him. Okay. If we suffer now as a lamb, we shall reign as a lion. But a lot of Christians not being patient, they want to reign as a lion now. But see, but they're out of season. Okay? Lions are out of season right now, but lambs are in season. Okay? So we as lambs are in season. Okay? But those which are as lions are out of season, which means they're transgressing against God. They're trying to claim heaven on earth, okay, being out of season with a covenant which is presently given to us. Okay? Now that's what the Pharisees did. Okay? The Pharisees, being out of season, okay, they were trying to extract the Roman legions out of Rome, or out of not out of Rome, but out of Palestine. Okay, so they are looking forward to a ruling Messiah. They wanted the Lion of Judah to rule as King David and expel the Romans from the coast, right? Okay, but that was out of season, and we know what happens when you're out of season. You end up hanging yourself, okay, as Judas Iscariot did. Because Judas Iscariot and all his sincere aspirations, okay, wanted to put Jesus on the throne, okay, and do that. And that's so the apostles by Judas's counsel, he says, Peter, okay, look, we have some excess money right here. I says, I tell you what you can do right now. Okay, just make sure that Jesus gets on the throne. Okay, so here, Peter, I'm going to give you a few rands, you know, here's a few rands for you. Go down and buy some swords. Where do you think they got the money for those swords? They got them from Judas. And why would Judas give them the money for the swords? Because he was in the wrong season, wasn't he? He says, no, we can establish him. Go down and buy some weapons. And what did Jesus say? Put those up, Peter. Hey, my kingdom isn't down here to take men's life. My kingdom down here is to give life to mankind. Not to take their life, but to give life. You see how he was a little twisted in that? So he was out of season, wasn't he? Okay. So that's why Jesus finally told Peter, put your sword away. If you're going to live by that, you're going to die by that. Because you're out of season with me. Okay. So if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. We're suffering not right now as a lamb, but we will reign as a lion. Okay? If we deny him, yes, concerning the seal for our soul and being out of season, he also will deny us as concerning the rewards of your sanctification. Okay? So if we deny him, he also deny us. If we stand against this policy, if we're out of rhythm with him, out of cadence with him, okay, now if we suffer with him, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him as a lion. If we deny him, he also deny us. So you don't want to stand against the grace of God or be out of season with the Spirit. We're working in season with the Spirit. As Paul also told Timothy, whether it be in season or out of season, you have to keep salted, whether in season or out of season. Okay, well, let's go on. We'll see that. If we believe not, if we refuse this yoke at this time, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he's still consistent with his plan and it won't be fulfilled. Even if you're out of season with him, even as Judas Iscariot was out of season, but yet that did not stop God's plan. Okay? And so even though if you're out of season, that means if you're looking for the lion instead of being the lamb, even though you're out of season with that, that's still not going to stop God's plan. God's plan will continue. Okay? Whether you conform to it or not, his plan is going to continue. So if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. The plan of God remains regardless of our position or perception. Okay? Now these things, put them in remembrance. Okay? These things, which is the weapons of warfare, or as the plow, the shovel, the hoe. Okay? The weapons of warfare. Okay? As a farmer, the soldier. Okay? The gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words no profit. Okay? The words no profit, which has to do with the false knowledge. Syntax. The syntax of the precept. The syntax of the precept. Don't be entangled with syntax. Okay? And that he strive not about words of no profit. Okay? You cannot progress beyond the precept, but you can progress beyond with the Spirit. You progress. Okay? Not beyond the precept, no, but with the Spirit, yes. Okay? There are no limits to your growth, so go for it. Okay? Go for it. Okay? Just like on Forrest Gump. You ever see that movie, Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember when he set the latest trend of jogging? He didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
He just went on and on and on and on. I think it was back and forth across the United States. Okay. You be a spiritual Forrest Gump. Okay. Don't be ignorant like him, but be like a spiritual Forrest Gump. Okay. Progress and go for it. Go for the goal. Okay.
He just kept their arm with that football, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he just kept going with that football. Yeah, with that, right. Go for it. Go for it. Strive. Okay, strive with spiritual things, but not with things that are unprofitable. So there's no restriction to your growth. Okay, you can pray as much as you want. You can offer many sacrifices if you wish. Okay, there's no limit to that. And there's no limit to that, except in the General Assembly, make it two or three at the most. Okay, for time's sake. Okay. But other than that, in your own private prayer time, you can go for it. And go for the gold.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so he says, charge them before the Lord, before the eye of the Lord. They strive not about words no profit, which has to do with the precept. Okay, but he says here, to the subverting of the hearers. You know, the precept will remove your confidence from the grace of God. And when it removes it from your confidence from the grace of God, it then moves you into the area of sophistic reasoning or logic of man. And you don't want that. Okay? The subverting has to do with it brings suspicion and vain babbling. Precept brings that. Okay? It doesn't bring unity, it brings division. The precept brings not unity, but division. As you can see also in the Catholic Church. Okay, you can see the subversion of the precept. Okay, but and even in the Catholic Church, you notice that a lot of Anglicans or the Anglican Church now are being converted into Catholicism. Okay, now I have to say I am rather suspicious about that. Okay, and that's because the Anglican Church is collapsing financially, being ruined, but the Catholic Church has a lot of money. Okay, so you say all they're doing is they're changing allegiances on the grounds of what? Wages, probably. That's what it seems like to me. Okay. Okay, there's a lot of suffering going on. There's a lot of changes going on within the religious system. Okay, and that's precept, huh?
And again, it's the Reiki. The little heaps are coming together now.
Yes, right. The heaps are coming together. Okay, they're raking together the burn. And they're looking at his unity. He says, look at all the different kind of leaves we have down here. Yeah, they're all going to burn well.
They're using some sticks in there.
Yeah, they're going to throw some sticks in there too. A few atheists, like.
when you said that earlier this morning the word is going to be caught in the act, you know, if the leaves are sitting on one big heap, there's no ways of denying that you are a dry leaf among dry leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Being caught in the act.
Yeah. There can be some dry leaves can be more pretty than others. Because you know, you see those dry leaves, some of the nice, beautiful, bright yellows and oranges and reds, right?
Big maple leaves.
Some are brown, huh?
The big maple leaf.
Oh, yeah, those big ones there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They feel the heat, but it's their own consumption.
That's right.
Sure.
Okay, so we go on here, and so it's telling Timothy, remove yourself from these snares of the precept, because okay, it will not contribute to building. It will bring subversion. Okay, it will only undermine your confidence in things of God. And remove your confidence from the grace to sophistic reasoning. And now, here's another interesting word, verse 15 right here, okay, which we also put within our own definition, to acknowledge motives and submit to. Okay, you're acknowledging grace, you're submitting to the study of truth, you're studying truth, and you're submitting to concerning your priesthood. Acknowledge motives and submit to. Study, in verse 15, that's a command. Okay, so you're loving God with all your mind now. Study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Approved, which means you're maintaining a good conscience. You're growing in faith, which is the fruit of faith. Your conscience is pure. Okay? A workman, okay? A builder of faith. A workman is a builder. A builder of faith that needs not to be ashamed. Okay? You're not standing in doubt, okay, of the direction of the Spirit, okay, nor of your own confidence before God. Okay? You are worthy of his kingdom. Because you're robed and clothed in the robes of his light. Okay? So you're worthy of him. Okay? That's what the Lord showed me in that one dream. Okay, it's concerning those which the beginning, okay, the forming of the second eighth week would begin with a small group. Okay, and that within that small group they all had crowns and were clothed with robes. Okay, but the branchings of that, they didn't have crowns, but they had robes. Okay, that shows that God is making a distinction between those which endured the heat of the day, okay, and those which will come in on the very end of the tail end. Okay,
yeah.
They'll still receive robes, but they won't have crowns. Okay, which has to do with the maturing of that virtue within you. Okay, so you want to be in the first group.
Yeah.
Study to show yourself approved unto God. Again, you're carrying a good conscience and using all the weapons of warfare there. A workman needs not be ashamed because you're building the house of God now, which before you weren't building the house of God, but now you're building the house of God. And here he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You might want to highlight that, rightly dividing. Okay, now, what does it mean by that? Rightly dividing, which means you're putting it in a proper context, also with the proper covenants, the proper weeks, and the proper days. Okay, that's why dividing the word of God. He's not talking about splitting scripture. Okay, which of course those are false religious system thought. Right, dividing the word, which means, okay, you know, you're hacking up a scripture here, you're taking a chip over here from over there, and taking a chip over there, and you're putting it together, okay, like a conglomerate of gospel. Okay, in that, that's not what he's talking about. Okay, but what he's talking about right here, okay, has to do with putting it in this proper covenants, proper weeks, and proper days. Okay, and this right here is the first eighth week. Okay, so I'm putting it within the first eighth week right here. He says, now you're rightly dividing the word of truth. Now you're putting it in this proper week. Okay, you're not mingling covenants. You can't take the fifth. You can't take the fourth and fifth week and mingle it with the first eighth week or the second eighth week. You can't mingle it together. Okay, you have to keep it separate. Okay, as the Spirit elects to do. Okay, so you're rightly dividing the word of truth, putting this knowledge in its proper covenants, in its proper weeks, and its proper days. In the proper days, you can't use the first millennium. Okay, knowledge of the first millennium. Okay, in order and grafted it within the knowledge of the seventh millennium. Can't do that. Okay, so that's why divine the word of truth.
I was just thinking as you said that, because it was like loving a certain kind of cake and then wanting to bake it yourself and take all the ingredients of the icing and the cake mixture and mixing it all together, expecting it to come out. You can't. It has to be done separately. The cake's got to be mixed separately, baked separately, prepared separately, the icing separately, and then put together in order for it to turn out like that.
Okay, good. Everything has to do with also proper portion, proper timing, proper temperature. And any of those, a discrepancy in any of those things, we know what happens. And we all experience that. And even even making hamburgers, experience that. Anyway, right, you have to have the flame just right. Okay, verse 16. But shun. Okay, now the word. This is an interesting word right here. The word shun. Okay, it doesn't mean to be, say, anti-social, okay, but rather be careful of your association. Okay, watch what you're building with and who you're building with and what you're building with. Shun profane and vain babblings. So I like the word shun there in verse 16, as to avoid. You want to avoid that false knowledge that defiles the conscience. Okay, and instead of, precept always makes lively conversation. Okay, but it doesn't work edification. Mm-hmm. There's a difference in that. Mm-hmm. Lively conversation, but very little edification. Okay, because the knowledge of God is to build with, not to muse about.
Mm-hmm.
And not to muse about, to build with. Okay, but shun profane and vain babblings. Okay, so hide the word vain babblings. Okay, you see this a lot on the discussion forums. The discussion forums is vain babbling. Okay, because everyone in there is contributing their ignorance. Okay, hoping to find some truth with that. They're all contributing their ignorance. Okay, their background or their backgrounds would be Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Methodist, New Methodist, Wesleyan, okay, or Free Methodist, okay, or Baptist, or okay, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Fourth Baptist. Okay, they have all these different kinds of names, nuances of beliefs, okay, practices and presbyteries. Okay, all these nuances in that thing. Okay, and they're all contributing, okay, the knowledge of their experience of their ignorance. Okay, not being covenant with God, okay, they go into these discussion forums, and you can see that in there, okay, okay, if they allow you in there, okay, you can see that they're all contributing, hoping to discover truth, and that's what apologetics is all about, right? They're trying to debate the precept in order to discover its real purpose, its application, okay, and hopefully that it will work faith within you, but it never does. Okay, it always works. It works questions. Okay, which he brings out also, which rather ministers questions rather than godly edifying. Okay, it works questions rather than godly edifying. But which is in faith, so do. That's what we're doing. That which addresses your faith, that's what we're applying yourself with. Okay, the knowledge that works faith. Okay, not that knowledge that just works questions upon questions. Okay, the tenses of it. Okay, just it's sophistic. Language, whether it's syntax, okay, the Greek, the Hebrew, okay, and the Semitic languages, how it can be applied, is it progressive or is it present or is it past? There's no end to it, and the concordances prove that, okay, the vines and the Strongs, and also these other ones, okay, the Baptist denomination. They have the Bibles which they like and the concordances which they utilize to prove a point. They even, rewriting the Bible, okay, in a lighter denomination, they removed the word propitiation and replace it with substitution. Okay, based upon their sophisticated knowledge, okay, about the Greek language. And that puts them in complete error,
yeah,
in there, doesn't it? Okay. So when they wave that Bible in everybody's faces, I believe every word of God, it says, but that's the transliteration there, which you're waving around there, and you've changed everything in there, okay, to match your beliefs, your conviction. Okay. There's no priesthood, there's no stewardship, There's no covenant. There's no salvation. Okay, so they're dead in their sins. But shun profane vain babblings, okay? For they will increase in a more ungodliness. This is, Paul said, Paul experienced the same thing, where he would debate with these guys. You see it in Acts chapter 15. Where they discussed circumcision. Okay, in that there was a debate. It got to the point where they actually said, well, Paul, why don't you go back to Jerusalem and do a little more investigation there? Okay, and then you will see that we actually came from James. And he went back there. They did not condone those things at all. Okay, when he went back there. These guys were spiritual renegades. They were rogue apostles. Rogue apostles. They were claiming to come from James, okay, and they were promoting circumcision, weren't they? Which has to do with the law of Moses and the traditions of the fathers. Okay? And so they said this. And Paul was right there, Paul was sitting right there within that conference. And he says, unless you be circumcised, you can't be saved. Paul says, well, wait a minute now. Okay, why are you introducing circumcision? Okay, and why are you introducing Moses? And he says, don't you know that, okay, we are now in the second covenant? We're not in that, those other covenants there. Okay, and there was a big debate. Well, this is what he's talking about. His own experiences right here. Vain babblings, they will increase unto more ungodliness. It doesn't produce fruit. Just questions. Their word will eat as doth a canker. So verse 17 there. Ungodliness, which means the absence of fruit. The ungodly, which means those which are carrying the name of Jesus in their lips, but not carrying the virtue of God in their heart. Okay? They carry the name of Jesus with their lips, okay? But they're not carrying, okay, the virtue of God within the heart. Ungodliness. Okay, these are religious people's talk Paul's speaking about here. Okay? Yeah, that's why they're teaching, they're striving about words to no profit. Okay, they're subverting the hearers. Okay, they're not rightly dividing the word of God. They're mingling covenants. Okay, but they love to debate the precept. But they don't carry the virtue of God in the heart. Okay? They don't carry the virtue of God in the heart. As you see on Facebook, okay, as Apostle Eric was bringing out earlier, okay, on Facebook, how they were they're trying to undermine her calling, okay, by the precept, okay, trying to overthrow her faith, okay, that's concerning gender, okay. So of course we discussed that a little earlier about that, okay. So that's ungodliness, okay, that's ungodliness. A seducing spirit works with false knowledge, okay. Well, we'll go on here, okay. So it goes on. Say, so don't exhaust your time, okay, or yourself in debating with them. Okay, this is what Paul learned. Jesus did the same thing. Okay, when they saw that Jesus wasn't going to speak with them anymore on that subject, Jesus, of course, would get up and walk out. But you know what they'd do? They would follow him around. Mm-hmm. And everywhere Jesus would go, okay, after Jesus left, okay, they would follow right behind him and untangle everything he did. Okay, they would contradict everything Jesus said. In that. It says, well, you look in the scripture, you can see no prophet comes from Nazareth, no prophet comes from Galilee. Look at this guy, breaks the Sabbath all the time, and he eats with publicans and sinners. Doesn't that give you kind of an indication this guy's not of God? Right? So they're saying, oh, yeah, maybe you're right about that, right? Maybe I should re-examine all these things that this Jesus Nazareth did. Oh, what about that guy who just raised from the dead? Oh, don't let that fool you. What about Lazarus, you know? Okay, now verse 17. And we'll get ready to offer some sacrifices here. Now their word will ease is the canker. Okay? As rust is to metal, so is false knowledge to the soul. Okay, as rust is to metal, so is false knowledge to the soul. Okay, their pattern of thought, okay, which we'll bring out here as Hymenaeus and Philetus, okay, their word will eat as doth a canker. It will rust your faith. Okay, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Okay, as being negative role models, you might want to highlight their names there. Okay, these are negative role models who are elders. That's why he's naming them. They were elders now, and now they're under the spell of their own derision. Okay, and under the spell of their own derision, they were introducing doctrines to precept, okay, which was ruinous. Okay, so Paul was telling Timothy, okay, he was naming names and telling Timothy, okay, you need to talk with these brothers here, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Okay, because they're introducing things that are self-destructive, thinking that they're actually giving true religion to people. They're diminishing their religion, faith, religion, their faith. Who concerning the truth have erred, okay, who assume the truth, Okay, as concerning that which truly brings to salvation. So I have erred, preaching, the resurrection has passed already. Okay, there. This is what they're thinking. those things were only types and shadows. The types and shadows are valid for today. Okay, they were using the law of Moses to bring completion now. Okay, the resurrection has passed, which means only that which Jesus gave was only relevant for the time, but we need the law of Moses in order to bring perfection. Mm-hmm. So we need a tithe, we need a circumcise, we need to observe the Sabbath day. What happened here? Well, concerning the truth, have ears saying the resurrection has passed already. The spiritual tools are really the shadows. The spiritual tools are the shadows. Okay, and are passed already. Okay, and now we're reverting back to the first covenant. And pass away and overshadow or overthrow the tools now that overthrow the faith of some. Okay, making the paradoxes. Mm. Nevertheless, Paul warns here, the foundation of God stands sure. Okay, Christ being the true reality is what we're building on now. Okay, so Hymenaeus and Philetus were reverting back to Moses, introducing. Okay, right, as evangelist Melissa was bringing out there. Concerning circumcision, they are reintroducing things. They were Judaizing Christianity, and that's what they're doing today. Okay, the Judaized Christianity, okay, was an ancient practice. Okay, which did exist in the first century church, but was not sanctified by God. Yeah, it did practice. It did emerge there. Okay, we read about that in Dr. Nicolaitans in the Church of. The Church of Thyatira, the Church of Pergamos, okay, as well as also where Antipas was martyred. There is also the Church of Laodicea, and Ephesus. Ephesus had also Balaam and Church of Pergamos had both, but Ephesus had also Dr. Nicolaitans, which was undermining the work of the Spirit. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, and this is what we teach: the foundation of God, which is the covenant, stands sure. Having the seal, I hide the word seal there, okay, giving us the true token of the conscience. The Lord knows them that are His, okay, by identifying the state of the conscience. We carry the pure conscience before God, and therefore we are His. Mm-hmm. Let everyone that names the name of Christ, okay, that means as concerning the knowledge of His kingdom, depart from iniquity, which is okay, that which is the boast of man and of that first covenant. Man finds a boast in the precept. Okay, but in the grace of God, the grace humbles the mind. Okay, and this is the very opposite. Okay? Man finds a boast in the precept. Okay? So those which are building the precept are not building the name of Christ. Okay? So it says here, everyone that names the name of Christ and preaches this kingdom and covenant, let him be depart from iniquity, where death hides. Okay, death hides iniquity. Okay, verse 20. But in a great house, as the condition of the soul, as but in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, okay, gold and silver concerning the tokens of this covenant, but also of wood and of earth, which has to do with the things which are perishing, okay, the perishables. Your soul carries, your conscience carries the testimony of Christ, but your soul carries still the scars and the residue of Satan's kingdom. Okay. I'll show you up here real quickly. Starting that. In a great house, and not only go, that's what I'm talking about, but in a great house, okay, here, okay, this is the great house, okay, well, this is right here, this is the progressive, but in a great house are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood hay and stubble, right here, this is what he's purging, okay, the residue. The residue and the scars, okay, of Satan's work within you. Now the scars, when the scars are there, the Lord will allow them to remain, okay, for the purpose of His testimony, of His work in you, okay. But they will be completely erased upon the third covenant. Okay, okay, the last enemy that should be destroyed is death. Okay, the scars will be removed. You don't need them any longer. The scars are to teach you, don't touch that. Okay, that's why God lets them remain there. Okay, not all of them. Okay, but He lets some of these scars remain. Okay, these are the things which, which of course you want to completely rid the soul of these things. But God says, no, I want them there for a while. Remember what happened to Adam and Eve? Okay, God, Adam and Eve were scorched by that heat. Okay, he allowed the scars to remain to teach them something. Okay, to teach them something on that. That's what God does with us. He allows them remain, these things remain, but only presently. Okay, not next covenant. Okay, but in a great house, right here, in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth. Okay, the eternal things and the temporal things. Some the honor, okay, as Christ worked within you, these are the vessels of honor. The virtue and the crown, okay, and some to dishonor, okay, which has to, that yet remains. That remains, what has to be removed. If a man, therefore, what does he do? Purge. So I like the word purge there. Okay, any saint that desires Christ, okay, he has to deny Moses. Okay, so you must purge yourself of these things. This is what we have in the workshops about. Okay, the workshops is to teach you about these things. We're showing you your always, okay, the scars. Okay, the scars there. Okay. And that says don't work with a scar, look at it, but don't work with it. Okay, these are being purged. Okay, so God allows these things to remain. Okay. And for the purpose of the contradiction, to teach you your consistency. Okay, I'm allowing these things to remain to teach you your consistency. Okay, so that you will remember not to touch these unclean things. If a man therefore purge himself from these, as even as Moses and his tokens, he shall be a vessel, a living token, unto honor. Okay, that's what we see right there, the virtue. Honor, a sanctification, okay, which is meat for the master's use, okay, which again is giving testimony to him. This is that which is sanctified. This is what's meat for the master's use. Now this brother right here is fluid. Okay, he's really fluid. Okay, he's growing the grace of God. Okay, but as you continue to put to death the moral code, this guy gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Mm-hmm. So if we be dead with him, we shall reign with him. This is very well. If we suffer with him, okay, we also, it's this way, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, okay, by resistance, okay, he also will deny us. Okay, yet he remains truthful. Okay, he remains consistent with his plan right here. Okay. Okay, so this is talking about the great house, the caverns of your soul. Okay, the caverns of your soul, of his work, and the state of the conscience. So if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Okay, this shows your three C's there, your consistency, your conformity, and your communication. Sanctify, okay, as you, this is your worthy priesthood. Meet for the master's use in every conflict. Prepared unto every good work in your building. In your building. We're all building together now, see? Now he says in verse 2, now he says the word flee. Okay, flee also youthful lust. Okay, those things not that which are not assigned to our altar. Okay, your prejudices, the vain pursuits. Okay, but follow this, flee one, follow the other. Follow after righteousness. This is what this one is doing right here. He's following after righteousness. The will is strong. Okay, when the will is strong, this is the house he's building back here, your castle. This is your refuge back here. Okay, so the will being strong, okay, you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, because when faith is present, your conscience is being purged, being washed, your soul is being circumcised, you're overcoming. Okay, now you're bringing forth the vessels of gold and silver and precious stones. Okay, these tokens right here. That's your sanctification and circumcision. Prepared unto every good work in your building. Flee also useful lust, okay, which will undermine his work. Okay, but do these things, righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, having no offense. There's your charity again. Charity and a pure conscience. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Okay, when I highlighted that and put over the word Christian forums and discuss panels. Avoid. Okay. Because why? Knowing that they do gender strifes. It bursts division. It makes distinction. Okay. it wants to overthrow. Because such things manifest Satan's face. In the conscience. Okay, verse 24, and we'll get ready to offer some sacrifices. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Okay, now, over the word strive there, okay, also has to do as to be enslaved. Okay, must not strive. What he says over here, strive, okay, a man strives for mastery. So in verse 5, it says to strive there. But then he says he must not strive. Is that a contradiction? No, it's just application, the way it's applied. One is that we strive for good things and holy things. Okay, but not to strive is concerning principle. Okay, a servant of the Lord must not strive in principle, okay, or to enslave, okay, but be gentle. There's the opposite there. Gentle unto all men, now remaining fluid, apt to teach and patient. Okay, remember, you must be long-suffering one to another, as God is long-suffering with us. Okay, be long-suffering one another and with their ignorance. Okay, with their ignorance. Jesus was very long-suffering with his apostles. They had a lot of questions they wanted to ask him. Okay, and Jesus was long-suffering with them. Not that he answered every question. Okay, so as gods, as we are gods, as he says right here, being gentle and patient with one another. Okay, this is part of our pattern of learning, okay, for the next dimension. Okay, we walk as Jesus walked. So in meekness, verse 25, instructing those that oppose themselves. Okay, those that oppose those, particularly those that are weak. In meekness, now the word meekness there does not mean weakness. Okay, but the word meekness also shows a consistency of contradiction, in contradiction. Okay, you're showing a consistency, okay, within contradiction. Not that you're being contrary, okay, but you're showing like the consistency of a bow of a ship. Okay, it was designed for one thing, that's the plow. Okay, it's like the bow of the ship. Okay, and we also are showing consistency, okay, and concerning our application with tools, skills, okay, observation, observing the seasons as a farmer, okay, and sharpening your sword as a soldier. Mm-hmm. You're keeping that sharp with your prayer, okay. You're keeping that sharp with your study and your scripture memorization. You're keeping that thing sharp and keeping yourself liquid, okay. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, okay. Okay, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. Now, this is where your prayers come in, to the acknowledging of the truth. See, your prayers stand, okay, within their trouble, so that they will cry out to God and accept the yoke of the covenant. Okay, last verse right here. We'll offer a couple of sacrifices, and we're entering the top of the hour again, that they may recover themselves of the snare of the devil. There's where your prayers come in. They may recover themselves and snare the devil. That they awaken out of that trance of his wiles. They awaken out of the trance of his wiles. So your prayers will remove that snare and awaken them to the condition so that the snare can be removed. Okay? That's repentance to life. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him by false knowledge, for his will, or at his will. Okay? So Satan uses false knowledge as a rein, okay, like a horse's rein, okay, or like a halter and a rein there, okay, in order to direct them into that perception. Mm-hmm. Okay, Satan directs by the perception, okay, God directs by truth. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that Christ being our King, okay, he reigns within us. Okay, Christ our King reigns within us, and he directs us in our perception. Okay, but we labor for that perception. Okay, in the kingdom of darkness, you didn't have to labor for that perception. It was just dumped on you, okay, by association. Whoever you came in contact with, okay, became an influence upon your deciding factors of life. You came in contact with somebody, they offered you your opinion, suddenly that became your perception. Okay, that's very dangerous, because and so then you take that perception into another conflict, okay, another challenge, and before you know it, that becomes another snare. Okay, and then if you go from one place to another place, okay, that's why you want. That's why you continue to study the knowledge of God, so that you can. God will continue to work within you. He will circumcise these things out of your heart, so you have being fluid. You can work with the Spirit and not walk contrary to God. Work with the Spirit and not walk contrary to God. Okay, and I think that's all we have time for this morning. This actually we took from 7 to 9. You know, this one chapter right here. I was hoping we can get to